All right, this is Travelers Indemnity versus Gonzalez Construction.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court, counsel, Mr. Ranum. My name is Cece Ibsen, and it is my privilege to be here today on behalf of Travelers Indemnity Company, the insurance carrier by contract with the state of Nebraska for the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Plan. In the plan, also known as the involuntary market, Travelers is the offeror. We offer to write workers' compensation insurance for employers who are unable to discharge their statutory duty to carry it by securing it in the open market. Workers' compensation insurance provides coverage for the risk of an operation and benefits for workers engaged in that operation, whether ownership of the operation is held by a sole proprietor, by an LLC, or by a corporation is irrelevant.
Does it issue coverage for individuals as opposed to always a company?
It is always the employer that is covered under the policy, and
so
that
comes. So if the employer is just one, he's the only employee, then it's.
Well,
it's
no, it won't.
For that person.
It will not, because if that employer is a sole proprietor or has a corporation in which he owns more than 25% of the shares of the corporation, according to Nebraska Revised Statute Section 48-115, he or she would not be covered unless we were specifically told of the desire to be included or covered under the policy. In this case, when litigation began, but never before, Julio Gonzalez claimed that he sought coverage for himself only and for one job only. He claimed that he never intended to secure coverage for his workers. That's the very same defense that was made by our insured in Travelers versus TNS Drywall, which this court rejected. In holding that no contract existed between the parties, the trial court focused on the December 11th, 2009 policy change form, finding that that was an amendment to the policy and that Travelers failed to obtain consent from Gonzalez Inc. to be bound under the policy and the consent of Julio Gonzalez to be removed as the insured. Gonzalez Inc. manifested its intent to be bound when it, as employer, applied for coverage and accepted Travelers' offer of coverage through the involuntary market. And as Julio Gonzalez was never insured under the policy through the plan, he couldn't be removed.
And you say he was never insured because why?
Because the Accord application shows very clearly that he did not include himself, and because he owned more than 25% of the shares of the corporation and did not specifically note that he wanted to be included. Folks who own more than 25% of a corporation are by law excluded unless an affirmative statement and submission is made otherwise. Going back.
Do you have a, is that a statute?
That's in the statute, the one I just cited, Your Honor.
Can you say it again, please?
48-115, and you'll want to look at subsections 9 and 10.
Thank you.
Going back to that December 11, 2009 policy change form, all that did was simply conform the cover page of the policy to the pre-existing contractual relationship between the parties, the employer and the insurance carrier. From beginning to end, this policy, the terms, the conditions, the coverages remained the same throughout the policy period.
So what did Mr. Gonzalez acquire through the Accord application?
He acquired a policy of workers' compensation insurance that provided coverage for all workers engaged in the risk of his operation. He acquired the ability to discharge his statutory obligation to provide such coverage, and he got a certificate of insurance from us that said Gonzalez Inc. had workers' comp insurance, which he then could use and did use to go out and bid jobs where third parties require proof of insurance.
So in this application, though, the Accord application, didn't it indicate zero employees?
It indicated zero payroll, and then on the third or fourth page, he said a subcontractor labor used. He said no. Then it said to use subcontractor labor that for folks who don't have their own certificates, and he said no. But when our underwriter got into the case and looked at his corporate tax returns, we saw that he had nearly $500,000 in subcontractor payroll. And when we asked for the certificates of other insurance for those subcontractors, they were never tendered to us. And by the way, the insured has a burden of submitting the information that we ask for during the underwriting and audit processes, and that's a matter of contract. We know from all of the documents that the only issue in dispute was our inclusion of subcontractor payroll in that used to calculate final premium. Had this case progressed as the law requires, Gonzalez would have been required to submit all issues in dispute to the plan administrator and then the Department of Insurance. And if we had gone to district court at all, it would have been only on a petition for a judicial review, where the court's inquiry would have been confined to review of the agency record.
Counsel, can I please ask a question? I don't want to forget my prior thought here. You mentioned a little bit ago that a certificate of insurance was issued to Gonzalez Construction, Inc.?
Yes.
Is that in the record?
It is not, but we know that it happened because Gonzalez Construction, Inc., when you do the work comp coverage lookup online, they are registered and it shows that they had.
That's not in the record, right? None of that's in the record.
It was in the record, and it's in our brief. I provide the link to that. There's no dispute here. And in fact, I should note, Gonzalez doesn't dispute that we did issue a policy in the name of Gonzalez Construction, Inc. Their argument is that they don't want it.
Is that in the record?
Yes.
Seems to me the only policy in the record is under the name of Julio Gonzalez.
The policy change form became part and parcel of that
was
policy.
Was that ever provided to Mr. Gonzalez?
Oh, yes. It's in the record. It's at page, I can get you the actual page number. But it's going to be right. It's actually page 21 of the insurance contract. That much I remember. And I can look up that page number. Oh, it's on page 185 of the transcript. And it's part of the insurance policy, which was an exhibit below.
And what's page 185 say?
That policy change form that changed the name insured from Julio Gonzalez, Inc. to from Julio Gonzalez to Gonzalez Construction, Inc.
It's and in the transcript.
It is.
But it shows, that will show that it was provided to Mr. Gonzalez?
Yes, it shows the mailing. It was provided to him and to his producer. We
Did
always
you know
send
the date of it?
December 11th, 2009, so not quite 2 months after coverage bound.
Why was it issued initially to Julio Gonzalez?
Because that is the name that he put on the Accord application with his producer. So the way things work in the plan is we have to accept everything that comes to us, and without even looking at it, we have to bind coverage. It's only after coverage is bound that we get in and go through underwriting and audit processes, and that's how this whole thing started. Our underwriter ran a search and found out that Gonzalez had actually incorporated his business in 2007. She reached out to him and he said, oh, you're right, I was operating as a sole proprietor, but I incorporated in 2007. So that's how this all began. Switching quickly to my second point.
But I'd like to ask a little bit about the evidence regarding the independent contractors.
Okay.
Okay, so the underwriter said you need to provide either copies of your contractors' workers' comp policies or prove that they're independent contractors.
Correct.
And would you agree that perhaps not in response to that initial inquiry, but later on, Gonzalez did provide information to show that they were truly independent contractors?
The only additional information we ever got from Gonzalez were those independent contractor agreements, and we received those after the litigation had been filed.
And is that a problem?
It is a problem because, first of all, the way this works, again, going back to the administrative procedure, is that everything must be produced during the course of the audit, and the burden is on the insured to produce that. They are told well in advance what it is that they have to give us, okay? And it will be things like tax returns, independent contractor agreements, certificates of other insurance. We then audit the risk, we determine what that final payroll is going to be, and if they disagree with that, they need to take it to the plan administrator, then to the Department of Insurance, and then potentially to district court. They didn't do any of that. So it is far too late when we are in district court for the first time, and by the way, the district court didn't have original jurisdiction over this dispute, but it is far too late to come into district court and say, oh, by the way, here's stuff we could have given you back during the audit and underwriting processes, but we didn't, despite several requests, and those are in the record too. Our underwriters made it very clear to the producer and to the insured, here's what we need to have, and just get it to us, and we'll exclude the subcontractor payroll. They were told 3, 4, 5 times, get us their certificates, we'll exclude these folks. But when we see $500,000 in subcontractor payroll and no certificates of other insurance, those folks may have employees, we simply don't know. But again, the burden is on them to tell us, not us to go out and seek the answers to the questions. I didn't get to my second point, but I'll stand on my brief, I guess.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Steve Ranum. I'm an attorney with Croker Huck Law Firm in Omaha. We represent the appellee, Gonzalez Construction, Inc., in this case. The decision of the district court here should be affirmed because the undisputed facts that were presented at the summary judgment hearing demonstrate that no contract existed between Travelers and Gonzalez Construction, Inc. And I would submit to you that this is not as complicated of a case as Travelers makes it out to be. Both the affidavit testimony of Julio Gonzalez and, very importantly, the deposition testimony of the 30B6 representative of Travelers, Myron Collier, supported the district court's decision. Mr. Gonzalez's affidavit said that he personally purchased, in his personal capacity, the workers' compensation policy at issue upon the advice of his agent.
Does 48.115 prevent that?
Your Honor, I want to... This is kind of what I'm saying when it's not as complicated of a case as Travelers makes it out to be. The issue of whether Gonzalez Construction, Inc. should have had a policy in place was not one that was before the district court. The decision before the district court is whether a contract existed between Travelers and Gonzalez Construction, Inc., not whether Gonzalez Construction, Inc. should have had a policy. Our position in this case has always been that Julio Gonzalez and Gonzalez Construction, Inc. had no employees. Mr. Gonzalez purchased the policy just because he wanted to bid on one job that one general contractor was requiring. Never before or since has he obtained workers' compensation insurance because he doesn't have any employees. He uses independent contractors if needed on a particular project. His affidavit went on to say that he never consented on behalf of the company for Gonzalez Construction, Inc. to be a party to the workers' compensation policy, and that Travelers, after the policy was issued, they changed the name of the insured under the policy without his knowledge or his consent from Julio Gonzalez personally to Gonzalez Construction, Inc.
So opposing counsel said that the policy change form was mailed to Julio in December of 09.
Well, the only thing the record reflects is there was a tack on amendment that was done by Travelers, and that is in the record attached to the policy. She's correct on that. Whether Julio Gonzalez received that amendment it was not on the record, but what is in the record quite clearly is that he never consented to the amendment and was never sought out about that amendment. The Travelers representative, Myron Collier, at her deposition, she admitted that the insured under the policy was Julio Gonzalez, and that Julio Gonzalez never consented to Travelers' unilateral change to the name of the insured. So the evidence before the district court was that Julio Gonzalez was the insured under the policy.
And you're saying 48.115 allows that?
Well, 48, by the way, the first time in the argument, the first time that we're hearing about 48.115 is here on the oral argument on appeal. Our position is that he needed this for one particular project. It covered him personally. He was not concerned about any type of employee liability because he didn't have any employees.
Is he not hit? Well, do you know the answer to this question? What is, under Nebraska law, is he required to have workers' compensation insurance for his corporation if he is?
No, I don't think so. I think that's what 48.115 says. Now, I'm not a workers' compensation insurer, but I am a business lawyer, okay? And whether, the issue in this case is very simple. Does a contract exist between Travelers and Gonzales Construction, Inc.? And if you're Judge Astera and you're at the trial court and you have not only an affidavit from Julio Gonzales saying, I never consented to it, but you have deposition excerpts from the Travelers representative where the Travelers representative admits, we never got the consent of Julio Gonzales to change the name of the policy. Okay, the insurance policy is a contract. In order to modify a contract, you need the agreement of both parties to do so. And furthermore, there would need to be some assent on behalf of Gonzales Construction, Inc. to suddenly be bound by this policy. So I'm not aware of how you can get around that in this particular case. It was done unilaterally by Travelers to change the name of the insured to who they wanted to be insured. You know, a bank can't change the name if Steve Ranum takes out a loan. Bank can't suddenly say 2 months into the loan, well, I want a Croker Huck law firm to really be the signer. Let me just switch that over.
Question on the exhaustion of administrative remedies argument. Two questions, actually. Was that presented to the district court?
If it was, Your Honor, I don't think it was very clear that it was before the district court. We're not afraid of the argument.
And I don't think you addressed it in your brief is my second question. So
I did address it in the back section of the brief. So I really think the only issue that's properly before the court on appeal is whether a contract existed, because that's how the district court decided the case. Okay, if the court reverses for some reason, things that need to go back to the trial court to be resolved, including the very factual issue about whether those subcontractors should have been payroll picked up and included on the premium. But the failure to exhaust administrative remedies argument, what Travelers is arguing has no support in Nebraska law. They're using, what they're saying is if you don't raise an issue prior to us filing suit against you, then you have no defenses or counterclaims whatsoever that you can raise at district court. That doesn't exist in Nebraska law that I'm aware of. There's some Iowa cases that that was asserted in the brief that I guess, but we don't get to first base in this case because Gonzales Construction Inc. was never a part of the policy. Why would they be required to exhaust these administrative remedies, which I don't even really think is a defense here? I mean, it's absurd to think that Gonzales Construction Inc., that wasn't a party to the policy, before Travelers rushes out and files a collection lawsuit, and this litigation, by the way, this is lawsuit two, started back in 2011. So before they rush out and file a collection lawsuit against Gonzales Construction Inc., they would have to somehow go through this plan administration procedure and appeal to the Department of Insurance just to raise the defense that they're not a party to the contract. And that doesn't make any sense. You need to establish, Travelers has the burden in a court case to establish that a contract exists between plaintiff and defendant. That's the fundamental issue in any contract case that you bring under Nebraska law. So, Your Honor, based upon what the undisputed facts in the case, which are that the contract was unilaterally amended without the consent of Julio Gonzales or without the consent of Gonzales Construction Inc. to be bound, the decision of the district court should be affirmed. And if, unless you have any further questions, I don't have anything else.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I don't believe there's any time for a rebuttal left. Correct. All right. Thank you very much. The matter is submitted.